Well, today the world is watching the opening ceremony of the Beijing Winter Olympics. But let's travel back about a century to the 1924 Winter Olympics in Chamonix, France. In that ceremony, the U.S. team paraded behind the American flag carried by hockey player Clarence Taffy Able. But here's what few people knew at the time. Taffy Able was the first indigenous athlete to carry the flag, and he'd become the first to medal for the U.S. at the Winter Olympics. Troy Oppie has the story.
Silent video from the International Olympic Committee shows Taffy Able, as flag bearer, leading a group of about two dozen bundled-up American dignitaries and athletes through the snow-covered French streets.
A Native American carrying our stars and stripes nearly 100 years ago.
That's George Jones, Taffy Able's now 73-year-old nephew by marriage. Family stories tell how Abel, his sister Gertrude, and his mother Charlotte, a Canadian Chippewa and U.S. citizen by marriage, all passed themselves off as white, mostly by not talking about it. They lived in Sault Ste. Marie in northern Michigan.
The main thing that they were fearful of, that Taffy and his sister would be taken away to, you know, an Indian residential school.
Such schools were one way the United States tried to eradicate indigenous heritage from Native people. Jim Adams is senior historian with the Smithsonian's National Museum of the American Indian. He says census documents showing today's Native population at 20 times what it was in 1890 isn't because more Native Americans exist.
It's because people were hiding their Indian identity in a period when it was a definite disadvantage.
In 2012, Adams curated an exhibition honoring indigenous Olympians. He says while racial passing was common among Native Americans, it was more rare for Olympic athletes.
A lot of the competitors like Jim Thorpe and Louis Tawanima were sponsored by Carlisle Indian Industrial School. So their identity, both as Indian and as products of the Indian boarding school system, was very well known, in fact, quite publicized.
Jones, Abel's nephew, doesn't think success would have come as easily to his uncle.
Taffy would have never got in to the 1924 Winter Olympics if he would have came right out and say, hey, I'm Native American. And I know he wouldn't have got in to the white-dominated NHL hockey world either.
After the Olympics, Able joined teams in the National Hockey League. He won the Stanley Cup twice, with the New York Rangers in 1928 and the Chicago Blackhawks 6 years later. His size and toughness made him a dominant player. He was known as a 60-minutes man because he rarely left the ice. After his NHL days ended, in 1939, he formed an amateur hockey organization back home in Michigan, named the Sioux Indians, in honor of his late mother. His native roots on display from that point until he died in 1964.
When somebody would ask him, they would say, Taffy, what business you're in? Taffy would always say, I'm in the business of winning.
Able is in the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame and the American Indian Athletic Hall of Fame. And while Canadian Fred Saskamoose is widely credited with being the first Native player in the NHL in the 1950s, both Jones and Adams say it was actually Taffy Able a quarter century earlier. Jones has long advocated for more recognition of Able as the NHL's first Indigenous player. Today is another step toward that recognition, proclaimed Taffy Able Day on the floor of the U.S. House of Representatives by Michigan Congressman Jack Bergman.
To me, the big issue here is not so much about Taffy Able, but it's Native American justice. If it doesn't happen on my watch, you know, I got a son, he'll follow up, and I got grandsons, and they'll follow up.
Jones also hopes for the return of Able's 1924 Olympic silver medal, which he says was stolen from the family home in 1964. For NPR News, I'm Troy Oppie.